I still don't know how this happened. I wrote an email, and I got an email back, and then before I knew exactly what was I knew what was happening, but before I was really prepared, I was on a video call with Kara Swisher, and well, for those of you who don't know Kara Swisher, she knows everybody in technology. I imagine her phone contacts list is terrifying in that she communicates regularly with all of the tech CEOs. Anyone who is kind of anyone has had many relations isn't the right word. She's had done many interviews with folk like Sam Altman, like Sundar, like Satya. So, you know, Microsoft, Google, OpenAI, at Tesla. She's had a long history with Elon Musk. And so we talk about that. So we talk about her thoughts around technology. We get in deep on autonomous driving. Let's take a listen. Let's just take a listen to how my conversation with Kara Swisher went. Kara Swisher. So you've been covering all things D, as you say, in all things internet for 30 odd years, right? That's correct.
Yes.
You
since the early 90s. So yeah, I guess it's getting into 30 years. Yeah, close to it at least this year.
And you've had many guest appearances. You're kind of like you've been embedded now in nerd culture.
Embedded. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Right. Yes. Absolutely. And yes. Indeed.
Silicon Valley and Simpsons and. You know, you show up in all of those wonderful places. And now you have a book coming out. We can talk about that at the end a little bit. But is there anything else my listeners who may not know you need
to know? No. I mean, I've covered it for most of my life. I had covered other things before at the Washington Post, but I started at the Washington Post, and then moved to the Wall Street Journal, did my own stuff, did a little bit of stuff at the New York Times, a column and a podcast, and now I'm back at Vox Media, which owns New York Magazine, et cetera.
I just purchased, downloaded, and started reading There Must Be a Pony in Here Somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, way back, which is very entertaining. You're very entertaining on your podcast, but I'm chuckling all the way through that book. Did you answer all those questions? Did you figure out who robbed Ted Turner in the...
Oh, nobody did. Ted Turner robbed himself. You know, you don't have to... He's an adult person. He did a deal. He was looking for big money from the internet. The media companies had been very slow to embrace the internet, or they did so badly, one or the other. And so it was his own fault. He should have done better due diligence, I feel like. I mean, they didn't like trick him. He's like Ted Turner, right?
Yeah. So. I think he did it to himself for sure.
Exactly.
It was a weird era, right? Where tech and media were trying to do a dance and maybe they shouldn't have.
I mean, tech had the upper hand from the get-go. And I think that was media thought it had it since it had it for so long, these big media companies like Time Warner. I mean, we forget how important and huge they were. I mean, Sports Illustrated, which was a Time Warner property, was such a huge influence on sports and sports journalism, and then now it's sort of being sold for pennies, you know, for parts, you know. That's what happens. You know, one thing, I'm sure there were a lot of, you know, buggy companies before cars, but they're not around anymore.
I didn't understand the title. I didn't know that joke. But I think it's such a great analog for so many tech companies or starting around, like it's just a pile of shit and maybe there's a pony in here somewhere.
Right. And I think there were quite a few, as there still are today, as you saw it through crypto or all kinds of sectors. You know, some are good, some are bad, and you just have to figure out. It's a little bit of a gold rush mentality where some of it's really real and some of it's not so real. There's a lot of scammers. There's a lot of problems and things that the government doesn't get its arms around. And so I just, you know, that was the idea. It's like maybe this wasn't such a good deal. But actually, in the end, had they stuck with it correctly, they could have. Sure, they could have been the real mix of media and tech. Now just tech just takes things, right? They just deal them out, right? Steal, put that in quotes.
Liberate.
But, yeah, liberate the information for everyone to have, even though they didn't pay for it. And they have no responsibility for the consequences of how they do that, because they don't do consequences in Silicon Valley.
Until they do.
They don't. They still don't. They still take no responsibility. It's not their fault. It's never their fault. They're like small children. I have a lot of kids, but it's like, I didn't do that. Like, oh, you kind of did. Like, it wasn't before.
So basically, the big tech companies are toddlers, is what
you're saying. Yeah. Well, that's an insult to toddlers. My mother-in-law said it's an insult to toddlers. I would agree. There's nothing wrong with a toddler. It's adults who never grew up
or so funny.
Decide to behave
like
children. Children behave pretty well in comparison.
So correct me if I'm wrong, you're currently driving a Kia Sorento. Is it a Sorento?
I have two cars. I have a Kia hybrid Sorento.
And the Chevy
Bolt EV. Yeah. I have my eye on the new Kia, the fully electric one, the 5 or something.
9, 6, or 9. Yeah.
I don't know. It has 3 seats. That's all I need. I need 3 seats.
I think you need the 9.
Yeah. I'm looking at it's just a question whether I want to go fully electric. You know, now they're looking again at hybrids because some consumers are still nervous about the transition. And I understand that completely.
And your brother, I'm paying
attention. Oh, do you? He has all of them.
He's got a Tesla and he's not sure
if he
wants it anymore.
Yeah, he wants to sell it, but he can't. You know, he likes the car, but he's, you know, he doesn't like Elon Musk. He doesn't like the car that much, right? For how much, you know, he doesn't like Elon. But I don't think that's one of the reasons he's not wants to keep it. And there's all these cool cars out there, right?
Right.
And he's bought them all. He had the BMW. He had a bunch of them, like a lot of them for a while. Tried pretty much all of the electric cars or the electric adjacent cars. So he's a tester. He's an early tester of those things just because he can. He has another car that's a gas car because it goes way up into rural areas and it's harder to get charges today. Not always. I think it's better now. So he's looking for the next one. He and I were just talking about that. I think he likes the Mercedes. I think there's a whole bunch of them he likes.
There's They're a lot of options. Good. Yeah.
There are. That's what he likes. And he, you know, now he's stuck with his Tesla and since they cut the prices. And they all look alike, right? It's hard to sell them.
Yeah.
It's actually hard to sell them.
Losing the residual value on that vehicle.
Yeah, it's declined rather precipitously because he's cut the prices on new ones. And there's a lot of them out there. It's just a matter of there being a ton of them. And so he wants another choice and better, you know, I think better finishes. I think he's not happy with some of the finishes in the one he has.
Gotcha. We'll come back to Elon in a minute. You did a bit of a tour last year of the autonomous vehicle companies. I think you met, Waymo, Aurora, and I feel like you mm-hmm. have a very keen interest in automotive, but it's not your bread and
butter. No, I've always, you know, but the techies. There's a lot of techies who are in, say, search or Google that just moved into cars pretty quickly, right? They just like they moved into rockets, you know, which is interesting also. You know, I was around for the very early days when Google was doing this. And I think I rode one of their first autonomous efforts, that tiny little car they had. I don't know. That was way back. You know, even my ex-wife did electric cars, solar cars, actually. She was working on them when she was at MIT. So I've always understood and been around people who are interested in those things. You know, there's that solar car race they have across Australia. So that's a harder car to do because the sun isn't always out, I guess, and then the cells aren't strong enough to hold a charge that long. But I've always, techies have always been adjacent to it. It's been one of those problems they like to solve, whether it's robotics and cars and vehicles. So I always they always had that interest. It was like their hobby. And now it's, of course, not a hobby. And I just focused on them because I did think that I'm a big sci-fi person and, you know, everything's autonomous in sci-fi, right? And so it makes, I think everything that's imagined by sci-fi typically, or much of it comes true, right? Much of it comes true. And so I'm also interested in climate change and the impact. And I know that it takes a certain amount of climate to create these cars, but certainly getting rid of fossil fuels is something we have to really be focused on at the very basic level.
Certainly. And so in your autonomous tour, what did you learn? I mean, the general sense is some of that tech, you know, it always feels like it's 10 years away.
I don't think it's 10 years away. I think it's a question. This is a huge shift for society. Again, I referenced buggies before. You know, there were buggies around for a long time, and they intersected with cars and lots of accidents and cows getting killed and horses getting killed. And, you know, and people, when they first started in New York, people forget these things. But when they first started the elevated railways, they did because there were so many accidents of people getting hit by things on the street, right? In New York, for example, now it's been turned into a park, which is kind of, now it's a beautiful park, the High Line. But it was, they moved it up so people didn't get hurt on the streets from these things. So there's always a transition of what people were using. And horses were, right, horses, and then it wasn't. And then there was a whole industry related to horses. And I think getting there is extraordinarily, first you have to invent the way to do it, which is mass production, which is, of course, Henry Ford was the pioneer of that. And then you have to get it out to people, and you've got to get people used to it and using it. And then you have to create, you know, it's a very difficult process to shift a society, even away from huge cars. We used to have huge cars in the U.S., right? Now they're smaller and more energy efficient, but it takes a long time and a lot of investment. And so I think where we are is quite far along. People understand them. They're being built. It's enormous amounts of money, and that means there'll be enormous amounts of failures because the market is not up to the production cost. And so I feel like we're really getting there, especially around these autonomous cars. I have ridden in the very earliest versions, which were very jerky and problematic. And some of the ones I'm seeing are quite, and I know there's accidents. I get emails from people. I get it. There were accidents forever. There's so many car accidents with people in them, we forget because we've become used to it. But you know, in this case, these things have to work perfectly compared to people, and I get that too because people are nervous about the transition. But eventually, it will be all autonomous. It seems inevitable that people won't be, except for as a hobby, be driving cars. It's also more efficient from a traffic point of view, from a fuel point of view. You know, everything about it makes perfect sense. It's just a question of getting there. The trucks, I think, are very far along. I find that really interesting. Aurora's, it may not be Aurora that does it, but autonomous trucks make a perfect sense because there's not enough truck drivers. There's not enough drivers. Everyone's like, oh, the jobs. I'm like, there's not enough of them. Like, because, and also it's a shitty job. I know there's a romanticization of truck drivers, but it's not a romantic job. It's a very difficult job. It shouldn't be done 24 hours. And the demands of our society is that these things are moving 24 hours a day. And so it just makes sense for companies to be looking at this stuff. It just, you know, I don't know. I just, it, like, if you just sort of game it out, it's going to happen. It's just a question of when it happens. And I think it's pretty far along. The trucks, I really think, are going to be quite common within the next 10 years, I would imagine. I'm not going to do a stupid Elon Musk prediction. It's ready now. It's not. But it's certainly readier than it's ever been.
Right. And they're running in areas where the climate makes sense, or
yeah,
on the roads and highways that make sense.
Sure. And highways, in at least the United States, I'm not familiar with Canada, they're the same, right? They're not. They're federal highways. And so they all are essentially the same. And so they can really design for that. I know that sounds weird, but they're just
predictable,
right? And I think that, you know, people aren't predictable. That's where I was looking into the accidents, and it's mostly people hitting them versus them hitting people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be one spectacular accident, you know that, right? And that'll get tons of press coverage, but it's largely our accidents on the highway have to do with weather, like fog or whatever the heck happened. By the way, it won't affect these cars in fog except for other people on the road, right? Either weather, or it's people in weather, or it's people just shitty drivers. I mean, that's really the problem we have, not the cars themselves.
There was an old Waymo demo video or explanation video, and they showed the weird digital line drawing that the car saw. and they would ask the audience, they're like, do you know what this is? And they were really trying to articulate that the problem was not like the roads or conditions or most drivers, but it was all of the things they couldn't account for, like a human that would step out onto the road, or in this case, what was articulated in the video and what had to be explained because you couldn't quite make sense of it was it was a duck on the road being chased by a woman in a wheelchair with a broom.
And oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, for all of the scenario planning and all of the, you know, all of the math and effort we put behind this, we could not have accounted for the duck, wheelchair, woman, broom scenario.
Right. They will, though. I mean, eventually they will, right? I mean, the human brain is astonishing and can perceive so much stuff compared to these cars, right? It just is. It's faster. It understands it in this context. That said, it still sleeps. It still gets distracted. It still looks at phones. It still gets angry. You know, these things don't. And so that's, to me, they have the upper hand.
Yeah. The challenge we have in Canada, and I think the one technology plus weather scenario that still needs to be solved for is snow. Snow creates too much of a variance in the geography and in, you know, changes the road in a way that the autonomous vehicle goes, I don't know where I am anymore.
Right.
So once we figure out the snow problem, then, you know, right now,
I would assume they have, there's probably better technical solutions than there are, you know, in terms of satellites and all kinds of things. It's just expensive, like, right? The transition is expensive. Once the transition is over, it will be a lot more efficient. It just will. And then the question is, how do we want to break it with the jobs? Could you have trucks that are autonomous on large highways and for long haul trucking? They get to a center out just outside of a city, and then people bring the stuff in, because I'm not so sure autonomous cars need to do that. It's not necessarily more efficient, right? Because there's so much variance in a city when there's a lot of population. So maybe people could do those shorter haul trucks. Maybe we can, you know, I would envision a society where you dig under cities. I mean, people have talked about that for a million years. I mean, but cities are already built, right? But a lot of these new cities that people are thinking of creating, including that one out in California, everything will be underground. So delivery will be underground. And that makes sense. Why wouldn't you do that? You know, the way our cities evolve just has to do with we keep adding on shit. Like, you know, like, oh, now we have trucks. Now we have cars. Now we have this. Now they have that. And so in this way, we could maybe anticipate some of the things that we could correct from previous centuries of city building.
Well, there's a pony in there somewhere.
Yeah, right. No, but there is. Like, it makes sense. I mean, like, underground delivery, which you can't do now, right? In New York, there's probably geographical issues there with water and everything, but one would, or not geographical, geographical.
Infrastructure.
Infrastructure issues. I mean, that's really hard. It's there, right? And it's going to stay there. And that's where it's going to be until it isn't. And so, you know, as we think about developing other parts, other real estate, we can start to think about how we want to think about delivery, how we want to think about how people move around a city. We have the opportunity. We're still, you know, we're still building all over the place. And so that's, to me, really, what could we do? And I know people like to make fun of techies for doing this, but that's a good thing to be thinking about. Okay, we did it this way. It doesn't just have to happen, right? We could actually think in advance of how we want to build buildings or cars, or how we want cars and people to interact, how we want to introduce all kinds of, not just cars, other kinds of transportation in cities. I just think it's okay to be a little more creative, like velos. Remember velos had a hot minute, which are vertical lift and takeoffs. It's not the stupidest idea. Everyone was like, that's stupid. I'm like, is it? Like, it's kind of interesting. Like, obviously the first velo crash, it's like a helicopter kind of, right? But it makes sense to move people around very congested cities. And maybe that's not the perfect solution, but I like the idea. Like, I didn't dismiss that out of hand when one of the techies
brought it up
with me. I'm like, huh, okay.
So there's actually, I was just at NADA, the National Automotive Dealers Association. And one of the booths was, in fact, a like kind of vertical takeoff, short, you know, short runway takeoff plane, which I think are, those are the two.
Yeah.
They're kind of looking in that same space of like, how do you build a plane that can land on a helicopter pad, whether it's straight vertical or just very aggressive takeoff. And I agree. I think there's a place for that. I've only met Philipp Schindler a couple of times when in my in the Google tenure, but he was in the office and he mentioned that he was having a conversation and in fact ended up in a debate with Elon about the you know, is it underground or is it in the air, right? And there's probably a space for both, because there are places where digging is going to be a problem, and then there are other places where maybe you don't want things in the air. Philip was very bullish on, you know, in the air, and Elon was like, things fall out of the sky, and that's and that's a problem.
Well, but it doesn't have to be a choice. As usual, Elon knows everything.
Right.
He's an expert on immigration right now. Go ahead. The other day, he did a tweet about the cesarean, and I was like, I had one. I don't want to listen to your rants about cesareans, if you don't mind.
Goodness. We'll come back. We won't dig in. We won't double click.
I don't care. I just don't want to talk to men about cesareans. Unless you're an expert on cesareans.
Unless you do it for a living.
I'd be happy to talk to a doctor or an expert, some ranting billionaire. Cheap women's bodies. Thanks.
That's good stuff.
Take a seat. So
fair. You did a New York Times piece in the time before 2019. The owning a car will soon be as quaint as riding a horse. And that it really did feel like that was coming at that time. It seemed like every OEM was doing a subscription demo somewhere, testing it somewhere. That evaporated pretty quick during COVID.
Yes, it did.
There is signs that it's coming back. And do you think that there is still a place for that? That's either, you know, the combination, the spectrum of ride hailing, ride share, car subscription will return?
I think it's starting to settle itself. I just did that to bother people because I wanted them to think, right? I did a similar story about climate. The world's first trillionaire will be a climate change tech person. I just sort of made it up. I didn't make it up, but I was like, well, if someone really solves this problem, it's a really big opportunity. I was trying to get them in the frame of mind to think about climate change tech as something that's profitable, right? That this is a market. And in that case, you might be wrong in the short term, but you're never wrong in the long term about that issue. I think that people driving, anyone who has young kids, and I'm not talking about rural areas. So anyone with a truck in a rural area, you can drive your truck as long as you want. I don't care. Right? Go for it. Have it big as possible, much gas belching out of it as you want. But in general, most people are moving to cities, right? Most people are moving to cities, and all the population predictions and all the analysis goes towards that as mega cities, these mega cities that are going to be creating, or areas out within a city zone and not rural. It was just the way it's going. It just is. And I think one of the things you have to think about is the ability to have that many people having that many cars and moving around. And so I do think these services are starting to settle, right? There's not going to be a million of them. They're not going to be, the economics are still being worked out, but eventually owning a car and paying insurance and, you know, sort of in that auto industrial complex is just costly and it's unnecessary. And there's other ways to think about it rather than owning it, right? That there's ways to rent it or use it. Because the way we use cars is so inefficient, right? It just sits there for much of the time and empty. The way we charge cars right now is inefficient, right? You can just look at it and like, why don't you rent out your charger that you have at your home to other people? You know, even you can start to think about really interesting new businesses. And so my whole point with that article was eventually, I have older kids and younger kids, but my younger kids, they probably won't own cars. I doubt it. The 2 and 4 year old, probably not. My older kids, one likes cars, the other has no interest in owning a car, right? That's not how he's centered. I mean, he rides more of a skateboard because of where he lives, but people are going to find other transportation things. And I think that's what I was trying to get at in that piece. Sometimes I just like to piss people.
I do
love their cars. I love my truck.
I like that a lot about you.
I love my truck. Okay. And by the way, the Ford 150 truck, the electric, is fantastic.
The Lightning.
It's huge. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. I really love design. You know, the romantic part of The only part I love of staying is the romantic part of it, because I think a Tesla looks like an egg. Like, okay, here's an egg. It's not very interesting from a, I don't like the design of it. The inside is really uninspiring. But I love the, I thought the Ford 150 was beautiful inside. The Mustang, Mach-E. Mach-E was beautiful. What a beautiful car. There's a romance to driving, too, that I don't think should ever go away, right? There's a romance and a beauty to it that is really quite inspiring, and it has so much attached to it for people, right? The freedom. And I don't want any of that to go away. They don't have to look like... The guy who designed Johnny Ive, who was the big designer at Apple, said to me, why do these things have to look like so... like computers. They don't have to look like computers. It's because computer people are designing them or are at the head of these companies versus a more creative class. And I would agree with him on that. That's why people like Apple products more than...
Well, and that jumps me to a different question. So a couple of thoughts. The first is, you know, what happens when, you know, Project Titan, the Apple car, comes to fruition? Right. Like, they keep pushing the ball down the field a little bit. It seems like
I don't think Tim Cook's that interested in it. That's, you know, he loves this vision thing. I've known him for a very long time, and all he talks about is AR when you have lunch with him. And so, you know, it's often the CEO, you know, what inspires Tim and them there. And so, and everyone at the company knows where it's going, but you never know with them. They could be like working on all kinds of stuff you don't know about, and then it just pops out of nowhere. I think they're very considered. You know, they're not going to like rush into an area. I think there's going to be, it's expensive. It's an expensive effort. I think as they have with most things, they'll be late and best, right? They'll be late and best. And they'll want it to be, level two. They'll want it to be level two, right? Or higher. But they won't do anything. It's a company very interested in putting out stuff, for the most part, not always, that is well done, right? I think they'll probably scale back on autonomy because of the difficulties, and maybe they can't do it as well. But they certainly could be in the software area.
Yeah.
You know, they could have...
So I was going to ask you if we could get Tim on the phone to actually...
I don't know. Kevin Lynch is pretty smart, who's working on it. And I know he's joined the car team. He worked on the Apple Watch. And then the guy who's the head of, I forget, Giandria, whatever. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what they could make. They have to. By the way, they need to get into big areas. So healthcare and cars would seem to be the area they have to. They kind of have to in a lot of ways. But it doesn't have experience in making cars, so they have to partner, I would guess.
Yeah,
someone. They're smart that way. Like, I remember Travis Kalanick, who ran Uber. He's a terrible, you know, he was the CEO, was so got drummed out. He said car making was trivial, and I nearly threw a book at his head. I was like, it's not. Like, you can't think making... It's easy to insult Detroit. It's easy to insult car makers. It's not that easy what they're doing, right? And then tech people, you know, even Elon went through that sort of valley of death of how to create these things. There's a learning process that you have to respect. And so I suspect Apple is in that process right now.
I use an analogy in the same way you were trying to provoke people with your New York Times article. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I say when I'm doing presentations in automotive circles, I will say that if you really extend that, electric car or future car as cell phone on wheels, mm-hmm. that every current manufacturer is Nokia.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Tesla might be BlackBerry, and that only Apple is Apple.
Yeah, I don't know. They've definitely pulled back on their plans, but that's makes sense. It makes sense. They obviously wanted to start with a fully autonomous vehicle. And probably they didn't want pedals. They probably didn't want a steering wheel, right? That was a Google one I was in, or early Google, and that's the dream, right? It's like a Disney ride. You want to build a Disney ride, essentially, except not on tracks. And so, they'll start there, and then they'll scale back and you know, the public has to come along too, right? You've got to sell these things. There's got to be, and that's the more difficult of people. I do like some of these ones, like, you know, the Zooks May, that's an Amazon project, where you just get in and it's sort of a, looks like a Dyson vacuum cleaner, essentially. And you could see that for delivery. Like, I think the first places these things are going to be in delivery, you know, delivery vehicles, delivery drones, things like that, where, and I know it's in the air and people can shoot them down, but eventually people won't. You could come up with 900 reasons why it won't work, but I suspect they'll be delivery first, people get used to it, and then more and more people will go into these things without pedals, without steering wheels and things like that. So I love it that people don't think they think they're more safe in a person, like in an Uber. Someone was like, I can't believe you get in those Waymos. They're quite good, right? And I was like, I can't believe I get in a car with a guy I've never met, like who has no driving experience. Like, you know, I was like, why is that any less dangerous? I was driving from San Francisco. I took an Uber, which I tend to take the autonomous ones when I'm in San Francisco. And this guy was driving like a bat out of hell from San Francisco into San Francisco. And I leaned forward and I said, I have four kids. You need to fucking slow down. Like, I don't know who this guy was, right? Like, why do I trust him over? He drove badly. I don't know what else to say. He was a bad driver. And then there's the charging and, you know, there's all kinds of complexity.
There is. Lots of opportunity, though.
Cost and yeah. Cost. It'll be expensive to start with.
There was an old tweet. I don't know how I found this. I used to use it in presentations. And it was kind of like, you know, it said something like, 1999, don't talk to strangers, don't tell strangers on the internet where you live. And then fast forward, you know, 2016, literally summon strangers from the internet to your home and get and get in the car. Yeah, don't get in strangers' cars, don't talk to strangers. And that was like 2016.
Oh, that's a good example.
Yeah,
that's a good example.
Literally summon strangers from the
internet.
They were
not going to do those. And then they did. And then same thing with like Airbnb. People were not going to, they were staying in hotels and then they didn't, right? So I just feel like it's just, to me, you just have to pick what you think is going to happen and then see how you get there. And, you know, there'll be a lot of deaths of these vehicles. And then they'll be okay. Then they'll be fine. Then they'll be there. And everyone will be like, of course we have these. That's, to me, the way it's going.
Yeah. So one of the other things that NADA, like the talking to people and conversations with both folk in the industry and with dealers, the real renewed sense of energy, you know, now that things are mostly back to normal and there is some excitement around stuff that is changing. But I also feel like my dealer friends, you know, aren't looking down the road, so to speak.
The money's not here right now. The money's not here. Right. They don't. I get it. But, you know, it's easy to sell. I think these hybrids might, you know, I think a lot of people want to feel slight comfort with some gas, I guess, versus none at all. And I think is probably true. That you know, I think people are nervous. I'm not, but I am. Like, I was trying to figure out whether to drive up to where my mom is staying, and I was like, "Where's the charger? Right? Where's the charger?" And I'm pretty open minded, right? And it was sort of like that in the beginning of the Wi-Fi age. Where's the Wi-Fi spot? It was a thing called started with an R. It was Paul Allen backed the whole thing, and you had to strap this thing, like with a rubber band on the back of your computer, and it was a Wi-Fi. It was a Wi-Fi thing that was relatively flat, but it was big. And you know, people would come up to me and they're like, "What's that?" I'm like, "It's Wi-Fi." And they're like, "What's Wi-Fi?" I'm like, "You're gonna have it. It's gonna be everywhere, you know." And I'm not putting that on my computer. I'm like, "But it won't be that."
No. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know, it won't be that. What's that called? Ugh, I'm gonna go crazy with it. Anyway, it started with an R. Anyway, it was like everyone was like, "No one's going to use the big phones." I used to carry around big phones. No one's going to use them. Like, they're not going to be this big. They're going to be small. You're going to use it all the time. You're not going to use the one on your desk, is what's going to happen. So, you know, whatever.
So, what do my dealer friends need to be prepared for. So
oh, they'll probably be dead by the time it'll be a business. They should just sell the cars they have and just go, you know.
Move on.
Move on. I just think it's maybe people will own them. But, you know, I think there'll be a long transition of into electric and people will all have electric at some point. And that will be a long transition. But then autonomy will come along with it, right? I think probably, you know, probably there'll probably be a city or two where it really works and people will start to copy that. And I think probably San Francisco and maybe, you know, there's Arizona is a big area of use of these things. Texas has been pretty open-minded about it. I guess they're working in Phoenix, in Los Angeles, San Francisco. And then there'll be the inevitable news story of the, you know, the accident, not the collision. And the firefighters will be mad, but like, aren't they mad at people? Like, come on. Like, I want that story. It's like, how many people get in your way? Do we not read about that? No, we don't, because it's not as exciting as a Honda car. But there are problems. Look, the thing stopped and you don't have a person to scream at and say, move, 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 right? So they have to perfect those systems better. What was interesting about the Cruise accident in San Francisco, I looked into it quite a bit, was, of course, it was a person that started it. A person hit a person. And then the car got, you know, into a situation that was hard to understand and you couldn't tell it anything. So there's got to be a way to control these cars immediately that you could sort of assess the situation and do something about it. A lot of these things happen in real time. So that's, you're going to get these just terrible accidents, no matter what you do.
Accidents happen. So
yeah, right, it does. But people have more accidents. I just can't stress that enough. Like, people are the problem. Most people are the problem across the globe in everything. Like, whether it's wars or misinformation, everyone's like, I'm scared of AI. I'm like, be scared of people using AI. Don't be scared of AI. Be scared. It's not the technology. It's never the technology. It's the people. It's always the people. People are terrible. People are good, but people are terrible. Like Tracy Chapman, who sang last night, she's amazing. But, you know, it's the technology, not the people.
Right. And speaking of people, Elon, so... Oh,
okay.
No.
All right.
So is he...
I'm so had it with him because he said such a particularly shitty thing about immigrants this week. I'm just had it. Like, there's not any vulnerable population that he won't attack.
Address, yeah.
He's turned into his grandfather, his father. Some people say his father, but his grandfather was really the toxic piece of shit that he's becoming.
When we look back on, so say we could zoom to the future and then look back on this current era, mm-hmm. and Elon's life, will we think he was a revolutionary? Do we think he's...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like, he, you know, it, the same way.
No question. Look, the Google guys were very early to car stuff too. And I think they pushed through, you know, phones too, mobile phones. Like, nobody was doing it and they just decided to waste money doing it, right? They sort of got us out of the phone, got the phone thing going. Then Apple took advantage of that, obviously. But, you know, there was a lot of like not interest in this area. And I remember him. He was in the cars and the rockets very early, and nobody was, not for real. There was some like
dabbling,
right? So he was for real, and that was, you know, he definitely, I don't want to say single-handedly, because there are so many people at Tesla that are important. Of course, he sucks up all the oxygen and credit as he's wont to do, because, you know, there's no other people but him. He thinks he's Willy Wonka when in fact he's not, you know. Even Steve Jobs never behaved like this, you know. He understood the value of his team. In fact, Steve Jobs said that to me. He's like, I'm not Willy Wonka. And he was an adult, so that's a very different paradigm. He will be no question he'll be seen as the person who pioneered something that had been happening for a long time, but really pushed it through. He did not invent it, right? But that's okay. There's a lot of people who didn't. Like, Steve Jobs didn't invent the computer, but he certainly changed things. So, you know, I think that'll be an important legacy. And maybe in history, we'll forget all about the toxic, racist, homophobic, transphobic nonsense that he's been spewing out. I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens to him personally. There's obviously been some recent articles about, you know, his behavior, his around drugs and things like that. I was aware of that. A lot of people were. And we'll see where that goes, right? That some of these people can be very tragic figures, that they're very pioneering and yet tragic. I think we tend to lose sight of some of these, you know, Henry Ford. Wow, what an amazing entrepreneur. He changed manufacturing, you know, blah, blah, blah. A raging anti-Semite, right? Now we talk about it. Now that, at the time, no, right? At the time, he got away with it. But now we have more reflection on his impact, which was both negative and positive. But boy, that anti-Semitism was pretty severe and disturbing. And, you know, we look at someone like Thomas Edison, who was deeply flawed. He was kind of a thief, right? You know what I mean? Like, you start to read about Thomas Edison, and boy, did he screw around with Tesla, ironically. That's who he really screwed with. You know, was a bit of a flim-flam artist in many ways, although he was a pioneer and a great inventor at the same time. He sucked up credit. He was an egomaniac, a narcissist, probably a malignant narcissist. You know, a lot of these inventors have a very, you know, difficult history that we tend to ignore and focus in on the entrepreneurship. And I get that's an American kind of mentality, is we forget all the bad things. You know, there was a funny thing on Saturday Night Live this week where it was Nikki Haley appeared on it. And the actor who is so good in so many things, what's her name? She's in, she just won a... for the bear. She's a really terrific actor. Anyway, she said, do you think maybe the Civil War had to do with something that started with S and ended with slavery? You know, which I thought was a really funny way of putting it. But, you know, we tend to go into this massive memory hole of our history. So historically, he will be seen as a great figure. Right now, I'd prefer a whole lot less of him. I think a lot of people would do.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. And so as we're getting close to the end here, you have a book.
Oh, let me just say, by the way, he's going to have competitors. That's the thing. That will show that he's maybe not as good as you think, right? Because he's over there dabbling in Twitter or whatever he's doing over there, and he's losing ground to other inevitable competitors. He needs to have his eye on the ball at both the rocket company and others. And I know he likes to pretend he's a Superman, that he can do all, but he absolutely can't.
Well, the Chinese are coming.
Chinese. I mean, we left out the Chinese. They're going to win everything, right? While we all bicker with each other, they'll, you know, that's what will happen. And they're good cars. FYI, the idea that China can't create innovative and interesting products, you're wrong. I never thought that. They've got a lot of goals, right? And they are beat, and they've got control of a lot of metals and manufacturing and everything else. And so, yeah, China really will dominate this area. We should say that pretty clearly.
Yeah, it's super interesting to watch, and it's very it's interesting to see the reactions from even senior leaders at established OEMs to what appears like spontaneous, but has been in the works for, you know, decades in China. But the quality and the depth of vehicle, a lot of it, of course, built on the back of some, you know, let's call it.
Yes, exactly.
IP theft, maybe, but innovation. Yes.
Yeah, years ago, when in technology, everyone used to sort of discount. You know, I met Jack Ma, and I thought he was such an interesting entrepreneur. And I was like, why are you bothering talking to him? They copy everything. I'm like, they don't copy everything. They innovate. You know what I mean? Like, let's not be quite so stupid. And also, they just work harder, right? Like, and I get that. And then, of course, you're right. It's built on the backs of all kinds of people, although our country has a bit of a history of that, right? Let's not forget. So I think we just have to, like, I do think the United States in particular, and Canada to an extent, AI, all the innovation is coming from the U.S., all the AI innovation, one of the more significant AI innovation, or Britain a little bit. So we can do things like that, because bottom-up innovation, to me, is the way things really happen. Real change happens from the bottom up, not from the top down. And so I'm always encouraging government to get involved and to do funding and to make correct laws so that we can, I think you win that way versus what's happening in China. I just do. I have a great belief in that in the capitalist system, as damaged as it can be to some people, it really is the way a lot of the innovation happens. And so my hope is that the government will see that this is an important area, both globally and from a climate point of view. They don't love to say that, but it is. That's an existential crisis we face. And it's an exciting opportunity. And I hope that democratic governments embrace this kind of stuff and not just let it be about, you know, Elon or whatever, or the Chinese.
Yeah. We have a lot of AI work happening here in Canada. It's funny.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
We have a lot of the you know, human power, the brain power, and all the compute is in the U.S.
Yes, right? Yeah. So, but, it's expensive. Another thing that's expensive.
Right. Well, and I also think has a massive implication in terms of electricity usage that we're not talking about yet, the same way crypto did.
Yeah.
But we will in AI too. I don't want to take up much more of your time. You have a book coming out.
I do.
It's exciting. I can read that one too.
It's good. It's actually good. Some of them is like, how's your book? I go, it's really good. And they're like, you shouldn't say that. I'm like, it is. It's actually really, it's good. It's a good book. It's really funny. It's really, if you don't know the history of the internet, it's a great way to learn it for people that don't want to spend every detail. I think it's a really good synopsis of how everything happened. I think it's very funny. I think it's a little mean, but it's. I think it's an honest assessment of these people, because I was there when Jeff Bezos didn't have any money and Elon didn't have hair, and I was there when they were starting, and I knew them as people, and I think these people become cartoon characters now because they're so fabulously wealthy and, you know, exceedingly strange, and I saw them before that, and so I think that's a very valuable perspective. And again, lots of people are going to disagree with my assessment of some of these people, and I don't care. It's my assessment of them. Like, you can have your assessment, but I saw them up close. I'm telling you what they were like. You can have a different opinion about these people. You can treat them like gods. I don't think them as gods. And by the way, there's a lot of people I really like, and you'll find I have a whole chapter of people I liked, you know what I mean, and I think are important. But I think it sort of hits on all the high notes and low notes of how we got to where we are right now.
What's the title? What's the name of the book?
Burn Book. Burn Book, a tech love story. So it's a person who loves tech who has been sorely disappointed by some of the people involved. And it's a love story.
My son gets irritated with me because I tell him that every story is a love story.
And it is.
And that in every like action movie, when the hero kisses whoever, I'm like, see, it's a love story.
Sometimes it's between friends too, right? I think the Avengers is all about male relationships. You know what I mean? Like, it's about love relationships between men that aren't sexual. A little bit with the costumes and everything,
spandex.
Spandex.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Captain America and Iron Man are at the center of that. Like, their relationship. Same thing with Superman and Batman. And like, you know, many stories are about love. About love between people, whether it's sexual or not. And so I really love tech. You know, one of the things I say in the book is, you know, you think about something. Where I first started using the internet was in North Carolina, where the first flight was, right? In Kitty Hawk, not far from where I first used the internet. And I said, you don't want to be the person on the beach at Kitty Hawk where they take off. They fly for, I think it was 8 minutes or some short amount of time for a short amount of distance. But they lifted off, right? They got off the ground with this vehicle, which people have been trying. Leonardo da Vinci tried to do this. And they take off. You don't want to be the person on the ground that are like, oh, that was short. That sucked. Like, right? They flew. You have to be the person who said, look what they just did. This, and ignore the, like, just same thing we were just talking about cars. Yeah, it doesn't work, but that car's driving by itself. It really is. And it will get better. Guess what? It'll get better as you get worse, because people inevitably die and these things don't die. And that to me is a really interesting thing to think about. Like, it'll get better. Go look at the early, everyone's talking about AI sucks. Now I'm like, oh my God, did you ever look at the beginnings of the internet? It sucked. And then but it wasn't what it was going to be. And if you have a little imagination and entrepreneurship, you can get ahead of it and do some really cool innovations to hurry that along. And it's inevitable too. It's not, everyone's like, well, I don't like tech. I'm like, too bad. Like, I'm sorry, you don't like electricity? Too bad. Like, can you imagine being that person? I don't like light bulbs. Oh, well, let's not have them. Like, come on.
And if that happened, right? Like, there were articles, about at the dawn of electricity, you know, like, you can't have this in your home.
Yes, it's evil, whatever. It's giving, you know, some of the stuff is very funny when you read it. And then you're like, oh, come on. Just you can, some of the stuff that's coming, you're like, okay, this isn't coming. But space travel, we're going to space. We are going to be living on another planet. Not us. We'll be dead. But if we have to have an alternative to Earth, because if not, the human race is finished, right? Inevitably. And so it's okay to start thinking about those things. And that's the Elon, you know, I'll use him as the example that I like. I like space. I call him Space Karen, but I like Space Karen. I sort of like Tesla Karen these days, not as much as I used to. I like Space Karen. X or Twitter Karen really needs to get the fuck out of town, like, as soon as possible. But, you know, people are complicated.
People are complicated. I really enjoyed. Have you watched For All Mankind on Apple TV? Have you seen that?
I haven't. I'm going to. It's on my list. I'm right in the middle of True Detective, where it's so relentlessly depressing. Like, I don't know what to do. And my wife was like, if this doesn't resolve in some way where people aren't beat on the whole time. So we're right in the middle of True Detective, and we can only take so much. But I'm going to watch that. That's on my list.
Yeah, I'd held off for a while, and then I saw a really great review of the more recent season. And you know, the revisionist history in it is really fun to watch. What if we had embraced, like, what if there had been more collaboration in space? What if the Soviets got there first? Yeah. What if there'd been more collaboration?
Yeah.
What if we had electric vehicles in the 80s, kind of?
Yeah.
Right? Like, all of the things that could have been possible didn't happen, but what if?
I'll watch it. I'll definitely watch it. I love sci-fi. I watch it. I would recommend Naomi Alderman's book, Future, which I love, which is really great. I just interviewed her. She wrote The Power, which was about girls getting power in their hands and upending society, like they could zap people, teenage girls. And now she wrote The Future, which is about the apocalypse and billionaires. It's really funny. It's really, really funny.
It sounds like it's right up your alley, the apocalypse and billionaires.
Yeah. They think they're going to get away with it, but they aren't. I'll end on this because I got to go. But one of these billionaires was telling me his apocalypse plans. You know, he had a very elaborate thing with a motorcycle that went to Big Sur, et cetera, and this bunker. It was crazy. This was years ago before this got a lot of attention. And I was like, And I sort of saw the logic of what he was doing. And he said, what's your plan? And I said, now that you've told me everything, I'm coming to your house, shooting you in the head and taking your things. That's what I'm doing. That's my apocalypse plan. It's like, what? I said, I don't have a gun. I'm not shooting you in the head.
You just need one bullet, and he already
I know. I was like, I'm not going to shoot you in the head. He was nervous. He was like, you could see his head going, what's my plan for the San Francisco lesbian who shows up with a gun? Like,
there's no accounting for the San Francisco lesbian.
You never really come out of nowhere, by the way. Let me just say.
Karen, this has been...
I mean, me and Roberta Kaplan and Tracy Chapman, lesbians are going to fix everything.
I would love that. I would open the way for you to fix everything.
You should. Yeah. We should, because we really know how to handle things. Anyway, I got to go.
Thank you.
I appreciate the chat. What a lovely, thoughtful chat.
And that is how it went. I got off the video call with Kara, and I texted my wife, like, OMG, 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 like, 5 times. I was so excited. That morning, I still was, giddy. I hope that didn't come across in the interview. I don't think it did, but I was very excited. And it's fair to say, so this conversation happened just a few weeks before the Apple Car news, when we learned that Apple was shutting down its car project. But she called it out. She's like, Tim Cook only cares about AR, VR. He is not interested in the car project. And so we kind of know how that all panned out. Her book, Burn Book, now available. You can buy that wherever you buy your books. Thank you for listening. And please subscribe to my newsletter at growdy.wtf, growdy.wtf.